John and I are doing the message today, and he had surgery less than 2 weeks ago, and so I figured, I've had a lot of surgery, I figured, okay, there's no way John's going to be able to be part of this message, and I assured Joel that if we can't both be here, I will be here. So I went ahead and I prepared a message. Coming home from the hospital, John says, I can do it. I can do it. I'll be there. So, okay, I shortened the message and left lots of room for him to share because he's going to share his experience. And I'm going to lay the foundation with scripture. I've always loved the 23rd Psalm, and I appreciated the worship this morning. They wanted me to use, maybe, let me see. The sound is better with this, so we're going to try this, especially for the live stream. It comes through a little bit louder. So excuse my shaking hands. Unfortunately, it's not because I'm nervous. It's just my uniqueness these days. So the worship really tied in a lot with the 23rd Psalm. And there were a lot of phrases in there that lined up with. I've always loved the 23rd Psalm. One time I did a Bible study on it that lasted for several weeks. There's so much in that. And I asked Vicki to type up everything you receive from the 23rd Psalm, and that's in your bulletin. It's a good thing to keep. You know, when you're hurting or you're just whatever you need from the Lord, it's there in the 23rd Psalm, and that list will show that to you. So I know I plan to keep that list and keep it close. So what happened was I came across an article, and it was about the Good Shepherd, and it touched my heart, and I thought, I would love to share this article with you. So I'll be doing a little bit of reading, so forgive me for that, and I hope it blesses your heart as much as it did mine. So let's first read the 23rd Psalm, and my version might read a little bit different. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He gives me rest in green pastures. He leads me to calm water. He gives me new strength for the good of his name. He leads me on paths that are right. Even if I walk through a very dark valley, I will not be afraid because you're with me. Your rod and your walking stick comfort me. You prepare a meal for me in front of my enemies. You pour oil on my head. You give me more than I can hold. Surely your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And then I came across Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16, which ties in with this. This is what the Lord God says. I myself will search for my sheep. I will take care of them. A shepherd will take care of his scattered flock when it is found. In the same way, I will take care of my sheep. I will save them from all the places where they are scattered. I will do this on a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the nations. I will gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains and in the ravines of Israel. And I will feed them in all the places where people live in the land. I will feed them in a good pasture. They will eat grass on the high mountains of Israel. They will lie down on good ground where they eat grass. They will eat in rich grassland on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and lead them to rest, says the Lord God. I will search for the lost. I will bring back those that were scattered. I will put bandages on those that were hurt. I will make the weak strong. I will destroy those sheep that are fat and strong, and I will tend the sheep with fairness. Lord, bless the reading of your word. It is so powerful, and we're so grateful for it. Pastor Joel has been talking about the good life, And when I read these verses about the 23rd Psalm, and I look at this handout you have, I thought, wow, that's the good life. Rest and healing and direction and protection and faithfulness. He does all that for us. That's the good life. And I think maybe we've all heard the phrase, dumb as sheep. I know I've heard that all my life. And which is why, and sheep really aren't real smart, but which is why they need a shepherd. They need a shepherd. And also, Jesus calls himself in the scripture the good shepherd. He calls himself that. And over 700 times, sheep are mentioned in scripture. So I believe it's safe to say that Jesus loves his sheep. He loves us. But the article I read, and that's what I want to tell you about today, is about a certain breed of sheep. Now, maybe you already know this, but I didn't. It was new to me, and it really touched my heart. It's the Icelandic sheep. They yield an exceptional wool, an exceptional milk and meat, and they can clear the land better than a goat. We used to have a couple goats just so we didn't have to mow so much. But these sheep can clear the land better than a goat. Now, I want to read something to you out of this article. Icelandic sheep grow a dual-coated fleece. The long, curly guard hair is so strong that even a few twisted strands can defy the power of most human hands. By weight, it is stronger than steel and can flex more than 10,000 times and not break. No metal on the planet can match its tensile strength. And then they have an undercoat of fleece that is soft and delightful, and you can spin that into yarn for clothing. That aside, this natural fiber has some lesser-known crazy superpowers. Their wool is the only known substance on Earth that retains heat, even when soaking wet. In a high-humidity environment, it also emits a measurable amount of heat. Even though this phenomenon can be proven, science still struggles to understand the how a fiber can do this. Also, because wool is naturally ultraviolet resistant, antifungal, antimicrobial, and it protects, disinfects, and deodorizes whatever it touches. If all this were not superpower enough, wool is highly fire resistant. What and how? How can that happen? Well, also the milk. The sheep milk is another wonder of the world. Among commonly milked animals, it has the greatest nutritional value. Let's find a place to buy sheep milk. It is highest in protein and lactose-free. Sheep milk also has been proven by releasing unnecessary fat. And if that were not enough to make me run to the barn for sheep milk every morning, this next astonishing fact would. Sheep milk contains 50% more nucleotides than nearly all other milk, which means that it is highly effective in fighting cancer. Sheep meat is also extraordinary in its natural ability to reduce inflammation, improve bone density, support brain function, aid in healing wounds, regulate blood sugar, benefit weight management, and encourage heart health. Wow. I don't know if we live in the center of Morgantown, if they let us have a couple Icelandic sheep, but sounds good to me. I would love to be able to get hold of some of that. So, what does a good shepherd provide for their flock? A good shepherd will provide food, water, protection, and rest. That's what a good shepherd does. And how does Jesus provide these necessities? Well, John 6:35, when it comes to the food, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again." John 7:37-38, as far as providing water, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me, and rivers of living water will flow from his heart." What about protection? John 10:27-29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. What about rest? One of my favorite verses. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Wow. A common truth in all of these verses is that we need to come to Jesus. And that's the only way we will have the food, the water, the protection, and the rest if we follow the shepherd. I love the picture on the front of your bulletin. It was so pretty and so special. And even the one up here on the screen, when you look at the face of Jesus, why wouldn't you want to follow him? Follow him. He is your good shepherd. Don't continue to sit by the road like Bartimaeus did, but you must get on the road and follow Jesus. Bartimaeus was healed by Jesus, but then it was more than that. He got up once he was healed, and he followed the good shepherd. Now, here's where it gets exciting. Jesus is not only our good shepherd, but according to John 1, he's the Lamb of God. He's not only the shepherd, but he's also the Lamb. I mean, that's remarkable that Jesus would do that for us. He is our Lamb. When a lamb or a baby is born, they arrive, and you know, most of you, they're so vulnerable, so precious, and so pure when you look at a baby's face. Well, as a baby, Jesus arrived in this world as a baby. We just celebrated Christmas. He arrived in this world the same way. And because of that vulnerability, he acquainted himself with everything we would ever face. Anything in this life, every attack from the enemy, and every poison that separates you from God. Jesus made himself aware of that by going through life just as we do. And Hebrews 4:15-16 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That is my good shepherd. That's the Lamb of God. He knows every pain, every discomfort, every fear. He knows everything I go through because he experienced it. And Jesus, as a lamb, knew what he had to do. His blood would be shed on the cross. He would die, and the enemy would think that he won. But the enemy of all mankind did not know the Lamb's greatest strength and power was in his blood. It was in his blood, just like it is in the Icelandic sheep, in their blood. And to this day, antibodies in lamb's blood, this is amazing, the antibodies in the lamb's blood will surround venom and neutralize its destructive power. Wow. Lamb's blood is the foundation for nearly every anti-venom on earth. The blood, the lamb of the blood, the blood of the lamb. The lethal effect of venom is nullified by lamb's blood. Wow. I no longer think sheep are as dumb as dirt. Absolutely not. Their blood is what we need. Jesus is our good shepherd, and he is the Lamb of God. And as both, he has provided everything that we need to follow him through every valley of the shadow of death that we face. Every hard time, every concern you have, every physical ailment, every emotional ailment, every wayward child that you might have, every hurt that you have, He is the good shepherd, and you can face it. As one of his sheep, I have found myself in some scary situations, especially lately, but I remember, this was so helpful, I remembered the strength in the wool. Jesus had made me waterproof and fireproof. I faced sickness and disease, myself and with my husband. But again, I reminded, because of the wool, the milk, and the meat of a lamb, I can be antifungal, antibacterial, and cancer-resistant. Cancer-resistant. I have walked through some dark places, but the Lamb of God has designed my heart to follow his heart. He's designed us that way, to follow the Good Shepherd. And sometimes we will be bitten by that snake, that enemy. Sometimes he'll try to bite us. But never forget, the blood of the Lamb was shed for you and me. And in the natural and in the spiritual, it's more powerful than any lethal power of the enemy's bite. Whoa, that is something to remember. You don't have to fear a snake bite. Not when you have the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1:7 says we have redemption through his blood. 1 John 1:7 says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And back to the 23rd Psalm, we have everything we need when we are in Christ Jesus. So choose this day who you will follow. Follow the Good Shepherd. Now today, John is going to share his experience when he totally surrendered to following the Good Shepherd and what the Good Shepherd did for him and for me through this journey. And then we're going to close, and we're going to be singing There's Power in the Blood. Very appropriate. Really think about the power in the blood and how that blood of the Lamb was shed for you and that we can be set free. So, John?
Well, I'm excited about today. I have no idea what each one of us may need to hear, but I do know that it's
pretty important to the Lord to be able to recognize the things he's done and doing. I've been a Christian now 48 years. January the 20th, it was 48 years. And I pursued the Lord. I wasn't quite satisfied that making a commitment was the finished thing. In other words, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we think it's almost, everything's okay now. I just go and live my life, and whatever happens, happens. I'm just in good company. He'll take care of me and all that kind of stuff. And I believe that. I don't disbelieve it, but there's more. And starting about a little over two years ago, there's been so many things. In fact, just this morning, the Lord reminded me something else. And I was facing the idea of surgery, I think December of 24 was, I don't know what, it just was an explosive month. Everything around my world was at a place of how long may this last? Is this the time that I'm to leave? Is this the time when the Lord says, come on home? What is it? And I had no idea. But I promised someone I would do a song. Are you ready for me, Bob, to do a song?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Bernice, this is for you. And probably Rich and Carolyn, maybe for you too. So, and maybe you've had questions that this may lead to as well.
Would the Heavenly Father send down His Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes He had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let Him hang on a tree? I wept with the answer that one earthly reason was me. I was the reason that one earthly the guilty He was the sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the of angels were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be sweet Lamb of glory, and His only reason was me.
Take place today, but don't be surprised if tears break out and I have to stop. over this last period of time. What the Lord has done
for me and in me, I can't even imagine. He took me back to my birth. And I knew I was a blue baby. I knew about that, but I didn't know about that. And the Lord took me back to my birth, and he told me that he was there, and he rescued me. I was moments from death. I have no idea that whatever time was left, but I was definitely blue, definitely wrapped, the cord was wrapped around my throat, and I was due to die. I knew that. But for some reason, he was there. Now, he did something very unusual, because he's the Lord and he can. He took me back to 30-some years ago when we first came to this church in 1986. That was in the spring. And by Christmas time, there was a question and a caution and a concern that we maybe shouldn't be celebrating Christmas because it's a pagan holiday. And that really bothered me. And I went to the Lord, and it was a couple weeks, I guess, that I was. It wasn't like months, but it was a period of time. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, there is no such thing as a pagan holiday. All the days I created were holy and in purpose, and that purpose only. If people have tried to take days for themselves, it was not created for that purpose. So you rest assured that I created only holy days. Well, that was fine until this year came again, and I thought, what's going on, Lord? What's the question now? He said, well, you guys have gotten into the idea that you have a day to celebrate Christmas. I just want to inform you that any time I show up, it's Christmas. I'm not restricted to a day or a season whenever I show up. And I thought of the guy was at the pool of Bethesda, and he was there 38 years trying to get saved, or not saved, healed. And he couldn't get healed, but one day Jesus came by, and he was instantly healed. 38 years waiting. When Jesus come by, that's Christmas. That's the presence of God. That's the fantastic thing of God that I just couldn't fathom, that we do that. We sort of segment or isolate or maybe deplete his greatness. And then he took me to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Now, there's more to that. And that's not the only scripture, by the way, that validates that. There's a couple more that validates that God designed and built us even before we were placed in our mother's wombs. And he had a purpose for us. And the purpose was not to come to a place of salvation so that I could escape hell. It was to come to the place of where the benefit of it, our journey, is that place of promise. But really what he wants from us is to be ambassadors. I want you to be part of my family and strong enough to care about me and believe in me that you'll tell everyone. You'll tell everyone about me. I want people to be drawn to me. I don't want to make them come to me. I want to invite them to come. And you're the instrument. You're my ambassador. And I knew that for a long time. But then this thing happened with the cancer. I resonated in my mind, I'm not going to go through with that stuff. I'm not going to wrestle with cancer. It's, if my time is up, my time is up. I'll just suffer whatever I have to suffer. And there's a little part of me didn't want to die yet. You kind of want to hang on for a little bit longer. You got great-grandchildren and stuff. You want to hang on just a little bit longer. But if. So anyway, I was scheduled to get a colonoscopy. Now, my cousin had a couple of those and told me they're just fine, no big deal. I was afraid. Now, I'm a man of faith. I boast not boast about it, because it became aware that I was using it. It became an idol, where you got to have, everybody's got to have faith like you. But underneath this fully grown, aging man, there's a little boy. And the little boy had a lot of trauma. And I had no idea what trauma does to you. I would have brushed it off as get over it, you know, that kind of stuff. Push it aside. It doesn't really matter. You can get through this. Well, really, no, you can't. And so when the Lord took me back to my birth, he was giving me an assurance that he was there then and he's never left. Now, I don't know what that means, but I'm facing all of this stuff. I was 3 years old. I was circumcised at 3 years old. And I remember how awfully painful. I don't remember if it was in the doctor's office or was in my grandparents' home. We lived at on my grandmother's farm, and I'm not sure where it took place. All I know was it was painful. When I was about 4 years old, I had some abscessed ears, something. It was really a real mess, and I had to go get my ears lanced, and then they had some stuff they pumped out of my, I don't know whether it's pumped out of my nose. I don't know where it all came from. It scared me. I was scared to death. And then this morning, my Lord reminded me of another time. I was going to have to go to the dentist. So I was afraid of dentists, doctors, needles, any of that stuff. And there was a man died in this dentist chair like about a month or so before I was going to go there. My dad was going to take me and my sister. Well, I crawled under the table at our dining room table back on that where Rich lived. And I grabbed his, I was holding on as strongly as I could. I was screaming, I was crying, I was panicking. I didn't want to go to this doctor. Somebody just died there. I don't want to be, you know, and I had forgotten. This morning, God reminded me of that. Well, I went, and I wanted to be bold because of my sister, but I couldn't find it. I couldn't find boldness and strength to be courageous. After it was all finished, of course, it wasn't any as big a deal as I had made it, but how do you know? You're a little kid. So for all my life, I had no idea of the trauma that caused me to be fearful of doctors and all that kind of stuff. My first surgery was, the colonoscopy, that was really kind of funny. It was through the colonoscopy that they discovered I had a tumor. I'm going to do this, I got to do this, so they're giving me the needles and all that kind of stuff, and the lady comes over and she says, "Are you ready for your nap?" Nap? Next thing I'm gone. And that's when they discovered that I had a tumor, and it was cancerous. And we had another thing on my body. I had to have two surgeries as a result of cancer. One was an external growth that had to be removed, and 2 weeks later, this last one. But there's something amazing happened. When I knew what I was facing, all of a sudden, I was not afraid. Fear, I couldn't find it. I couldn't make my mind think about being afraid. Something was so totally different. I had no fear. In fact, the reverse. I became so grateful. I was so, Lord, if this is the time, you've done so much for me, how would I ever dare doubt you? How would I ever be angry or upset with you? Whatever you do with my life, it's been yours for a while. It's all yours now. I want you to be, you're my Lord and my Savior. You're all that I have. I have nothing apart from you. And I couldn't, I would start, like now, I could just sometimes, I'm not unhappy. It's not tears of sadness, it's tears of overwhelming joy. And some guys, you know, it's like people that I remembered in the past that just made deposits of friendship in my life. I thought, what have you done, Lord? Why am I not more grateful? So I would start calling people, I'd just start doing stuff and thinking, and I couldn't even think about the surgery. It wasn't even registering. I went through two surgeries, and I want to tell you something. I had absolutely no pain. No pain. No, I had no pain. I don't care what you say out there. Well, do you not think that my love for Jesus grew a notch? Do you not think that whatever I face today, tomorrow, or whenever, that I have any reason to be doubtful of God and His love for me? Do I have any doubt that it's the same love as for you as well? Because I'm not a special specimen. It's like I'm just a product of God's love, and we all have that opportunity. It's for everyone who will. So I have no idea what God's going to do, but here I am. I'm 86 and a half. 86 and a half. And other than little mobility problems, I am amazingly excited about the future. And one of the things that is that I don't want to have people wonder what I think about them or feel about them. In fact, when I'm out in the public, yesterday there was a lady with she and her husband had three children. She's carrying another, and their kids were so behaved, ate so nicely. And we look at that, and nobody ever says anything. I went over to her and I said, "You're an amazing mom. You must be amazing parents. The evidence of your children are worthy of acknowledging." Stuff like that all the time. I do that all the time. And then I was reminded that my first surgery, I had this lady that lives in the house, and every 3 hours she's up all night long making sure that I take these pain pills, which I don't know why I was taking them because I had no pain. But then maybe I was having no pain because she was insistent. And it brought me to a better and a newer appreciation of my wife. She has withstood, and I can be a piece of work, I'll bet you, you know. And to have her stand with me, being almost stricken, she was stricken in the very beginning because she thought that I was going to die and she'd be alone. That really caught her off guard, I think. But I got to tell you, I have a wonderful wife. She's going to be 80, and look at her. You'd never believe it, would you? Now, that doesn't mean I have to look old. It just means I'm fortunate to have a young wife. And I thought of, what are you going to do, Lord, to allow your name to be broadcast in ways that will cause other people to want to walk with you? What is it? It's not about a church. And one of my big things is that I'm running into a lot of people that are nervous about going to church. They don't want to go to church because they see what's happening in church. And it's not very attractive to them. And I tell them one thing. I said, look, there's an institutional faith and there's a personal relationship. We've been subject to the institution. I'm not against denomination or anything. That's not what this is about. It's about if it doesn't become personal to you, it's just another church or event. But if it's a personal relationship and you hook up with Christ first and foremost, it's interesting how He'll lead you into these other places. And the journey that He wants for you, because He wants to be so very real to you, He wants you to be so familiar with Him that you're like your buddies. You know, I want to not just know of you, I want to know you. I want to be intimate with you. If there's something that you need to go through your life and you're thinking you need to go alone, don't think you got to go. Don't go alone. Don't do it. Come to me. Help me. Help me walk with you. Help me to show you what it's like when you have a genuine faith versus a denominational stuff. Now, I'm trying not to, you know, I don't want to belabor this because I grew up a denominationalist. Most of us did. But when the Christ came into the picture, I never envisioned what he would do. And to think at my age, he is not yet finished. Now, that's pretty doggone exciting. That's pretty exciting. I'm not finished yet. And not long ago, in fact, last week, one day I said, Lord, what is it? What is it that you want of me? What are you in? If you came and rescued me from that almost stillborn baby, you came and you rescued me, what purpose am I to fulfill? What is it? Back in, actually it was when Sandy got cured of her rheumatoid arthritis, which is a miraculous thing. And back in the day, it was the evidence of being saved is speaking in tongues. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. It's not. It's just there are other evidences. And the evidence for me was I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he gave love to me. I always loved people, but I didn't love them rightly. And he just took everywhere I go, it's like I can't get away from, I don't want to. I just feel like loving people means that when we sit down and we have a conversation, I'm not trying to change you. I don't have the power or the authority. But I do have the responsibility to love you and allow his presence to convict you and take you where he wants you to go. And that gets so exciting to me because I believe it's so true. God is so interested in us that he'll take us to the places we never dreamt of and experience some of the things we never thought could happen. And I wanted to think like today, I'm asking Lord, is a healing ministry something you want to entrust to me? I don't know that. He said, you've always had that. You just never used it. I thought, what are you talking about, Lord? Did you? No, I didn't, because what if it didn't work and it was my fault? It was my responsibility. He said, no, you can't do it. You aren't called to do it, but you know who can. Bring them to me and let me do that. You know, it's just stuff like that. So I don't want to take too long because I could go on and on and on. There's so many things that God has done, people that he's allowed me to meet. I went over this 48 years, and I can't even remember all the people. Some of them have already passed. But you guys here, especially you guys, Joan and Charlie, we had a home for a long time because of them. Elijah House came because of Joan asking Sandy, would you want to go to one of these meetings? So 20-some years ago, Elijah House was birthed because someone invited. And so you can't do things and think that it's this, I did this. No, it's the Spirit of God. And there's still more things that he's going to do, and he's going to use every one of us. You guys, it's like, how could I not? You know, it's the whole gamut of people, many of which are not here today. Out there are those people. And I want to say that God has a word for you. And the word is trust and obey. Trust and obey, because there's no other way. And look at what God will do for a vessel that's willing. I was such an introvert as a kid. By the time I was 10 years old, I had whooping cough, I had measles, mumps, chicken pox when I was a senior in high school, scarlet fever, all that kind of stuff. I was a sickly kid. And there was only one doctor that I didn't fear, because he came to the house and he said, this boy needs ice cream. I was a bud. He was, but other than that, I was so afraid. And all of a sudden, to come go through what I went through, and you'd have to, and not find any fear except gratefulness. So I'm believing that in this stage of our life, now we've had a of course, it's a national thing now. There's a transformation and the war that's going on to try to keep the, you know, to get into that political arena. I don't want to go there. But the one thing that we need to value is that we've been given permission or encouragement, I'd rather use that word, to pursue our spiritual faith. That's a big deal. And so in the upcoming months, Sandra and I have had the privilege of witnessing miracles, being a part of a miracle, or receiving miracles. But there's more to come, and it's better than what we've experienced. Don't get soft on your experience thinking that's it. That's only the beginning. There's more to come. There's people that are going through difficult times and really getting messed up, can't seem to find their way. And God's in the midst of it all. He's not missing a thing. Jerry, you're good today, right? You didn't have any repercussions from your flight this morning? And Jerry took a flight this morning. Ice. So we know God's faithfulness is there too, right, Jerry? God is there. So look, I am not going to chatter anymore because, my goodness, I could do it. You could be here for dinner and I'd still be going. Lord God, I want to thank you that I don't just have a faith based on some religious concept. I have faith because I've met the one who matters most. And by the way, when all this began, I didn't see a vision of Jesus. He didn't come to me and tell me he's going to be with me, nothing like that. But I had a premonition. I was walking to the hospital, and I thought it was my dad was walking with me. It was Jesus. That's what started this, really. And it was every pain and thing that I would experience. He knew it all already before I even got there. He went in with me and stayed with me. And so I'm grateful to know, Lord, that you're a God who really loves to be involved in the life of the people. That your love goes beyond the pages of a book. It goes into our life and into the ways that we have never, ever dreamed possible. There's more of you to experience. And not just a name, you're the name above all names. All power and authority belong to you. And we're so grateful. I'm so grateful to be able to say, this is my God. This is my daddy. This is the one who loves me and walks through every experience that I have. He will never make me go alone. So, Lord, let the peace and power of your presence come upon us this day, that individually we'd be encouraged to know that there's so much more. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's really fantastic. So, Lord, give us peace. And, Lord, I again ask you to be with Joel and Carrie as they wind up their responsibilities today. And get them home safe. And we're just saying thank you, Lord. Amen.